The legal scrutiny building around Trump's tariffs on Canada is worth examining carefully, because it touches on constitutional questions that have not been seriously litigated in nearly a century. The administration is relying on the Trading with the Enemy Act, a Depression-era statute from 1917, substantially revised in 1977, as authority for tariffs on Canadian goods. The core legal argument is that the president has broad emergency powers to impose trade restrictions when national security is implicated. Critics, including a growing number of trade law scholars, argue that using a wartime statute designed for genuine enemy nations to impose tariffs on Canada, a NATO ally, a NORAD partner, the United States' largest trading partner, stretches the statute well beyond any reasonable reading of its intent.
The Canadian response has been measured but firm. Ottawa has implemented retaliatory tariffs on American goods, dairy, aluminum, and consumer products, calibrated to inflict economic pain in politically sensitive American states rather than simply matching U.S. tariff levels dollar for dollar. That is smart pressure politics. But the deeper issue is what happens in court. Several challenges are working their way through the federal system. And the fundamental question is whether courts will defer to executive branch national security determinations under this statute, or whether they will take a harder look at whether national security is being used as a label to do work. The statute was never designed to authorize.
Historically, courts have been extremely reluctant to second-guess executive branch national security determinations. The constitutional structure gives the president enormous latitude in foreign affairs and trade, and judges are institutionally cautious about overriding policy decisions that technically fall within statutory authority. But the Canadian tariffs present an unusual set of facts because the target is an ally with whom the United States has a comprehensive free trade agreement, CUSMA, the successor to NAFTA, that was negotiated by the Trump administration itself in its first term. Using wartime emergency authority against a country you simultaneously have a trade treaty with creates a doctrinal tension that might give courts the hook they need to push back.
The economic stakes for both countries are substantial. Canada-US trade exceeds $900 billion annually. The tariffs are creating real friction in automotive supply chains because auto manufacturing is deeply integrated across the border, as well as in energy, agriculture, and lumber. Canadian provinces that are most exposed have begun pursuing their own retaliatory strategies and lobbying American state governments directly, trying to build a constituency within the United States for tariff removal. That subnational diplomacy is unusual, but not without precedent.
The S&P futures this morning are down about 20 points, sitting around 7,722, a decline of roughly 0.26% from Friday's close at 7,739. That is not dramatic by itself, but it fits a pattern of moderate risk-off sentiment heading into a week that includes Fed speakers, ongoing Hormuz uncertainty, and the beginning of September political calendar compression. Markets have been pricing in the tariff friction as a persistent feature rather than an acute crisis, which is actually the more worrying interpretation. It suggests investors have concluded this is structural rather than temporary.